The first question is, in which way and how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make Tawbah 70 times a day? How? كيف تاب الله سبحانه كيف تاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 70 مرة في يوم؟ كيف يريد كيفية التوبة؟
هو ذكره الذكر بالذكر أتوب أستغفر الله أتوب إليه أستغفر الله أتوب إليه أستغفر الله أتوب إليه هكذا يعني يقول أستغفر الله وأتوب إليه.
The Sheikh said by making the dhikr, saying astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi, and things of this nature when the person makes the dhikr with his tongue.
When you mention the conditions of tawbah, when you've taken the rights of somebody else, when you seek the person's forgiveness, if they don't wish to forgive you, is your condition the same as if they had forgiven you?
يسأل الأخ الفاضل إذا ظلم أحد أحدا وطلب منه أن يعفو عنه وهذا المظلوم ما يريد أن يغفر له ولا يعفو عنه هل حاله كالذي لم يذنب أو كالذي غفر له؟
بالنسبة لحقوق العباد فيها تفصيل. إن كان الحق متعلق بمال أو بعقار أو بشيء من هذه الأمور المادية المحسوسة فالتوبة أن يرجع هذا الشيء إليه. إذا كان متعلق بأمور معنوية مثل القذف شتم غيبة إلى غير ذلك فينظر في حال الرجل الذي تستحل منه هل يقبل العذر؟ هل إذا أخبرته يغضب ويثور ويدعي ذلك إلى مفسد أكبر أم أنه غير ذلك يقبل ويعفو ويصفح؟ فينظر في حاله. إن كان من النوع الأول الذي لا يقبل العذر ويثور ويغضب فهذا أنت تستغفر له وتدعو له وتدعو الله أن يغفر لك وفي المجالس التي ذكرته فيها بسوء أو بغير ذلك تذكره بخير ها؟ وإن كان النوع الثاني الذي يقبل العذر ويفرح بتوبة أخيه ورجوعه إلى الله تبارك وتعالى فهذا يخبر وهذا والله أعلم الذي عليه التفصيل لذكر أهل العلم وهذا هو الموافق لقواعد الشريعة وأصولها والله أعلم.
The answer of the Sheikh, and we have many questions that are similar to this, and many times whenever someone's talking about Tawbah, this question comes up, so let us pay attention inshallah. Again, we'll repeat the question, and that is, if the person who took someone else's rights and he oppressed someone else, he has a desire to go to that person to give him back that which he took from him so as to make his slate clean. The one whose rights were trampled upon and misappropriated, he says, no, I refuse. I'm not going to forgive you. I'm not going to overlook what you did. The one who had the who did the oppression, what's his condition? What's his case? The Sheikh said, in this issue, there is some detail that we have to pay attention to. There's some explanation here. He said, if what was taken from the person was some money or some land or some property, I mean, it was some type of thing that was monetary. It was, you can put your hands on it and you can hold it. Then there's no doubt you have to give that back to its rightful owner. Any property, anything that is tangible, you have to take that thing and replace it and put it in possession of the one who it belongs to. He said, but if it is something that is not tangible, like the ghiba, or falsely accusing someone, or from cursing him or slandering him or something like that, then this is where the detail comes in. The person who wants to give someone else his rights back and he oppressed that person, what he should do is he should look at the condition of the person who he oppressed. He oppressed them by speaking bad about him or something like this, something that is not tangible. if he's a person that when you go to tell him, listen, I made ghibah of you and I want to apologize. If you know he's a person who when he hears that, he's not going to accept from you that excuse. He's going to become angry when he hears you say that. He's going to become agitated and emotional, and it's going to become a bigger problem and a bigger fitna. The Shaykh said, this person, keep your mouth shut and don't say anything to him, don't mention anything to him. But what you do for this person is, if you was wrong, you did him wrong, you make istighfar for the sin that you made, and you make istighfar for that person. In the majlis where you told him, you said something bad about him to people, in that same majlis, and in majlis other than that, you should speak good about that same man. You should try to compensate him for the evil that you did in this way, so that you don't make a bigger fitna. But if he's a person who you can tell him about what you did, and he forgives you and it's not going to be a problem, then you can do that. So the Shaykh said, why does he say that? He said, this is from the qawaid of the religion and the asul. You know that yesterday the Shaykh Abu Suhaib, he came and he didn't meet Shaykh Salim yet. He didn't meet him yet. But the same thing he said today is the same thing that he's saying today. That we have to be aware of the what? Of the qawaid of the religion. Those principles and the ahdath and the aghraz of al-Islam. So the Shaykh is saying, from the goals and objectives of al-Islam is this type of idea. Not to make a bigger fitna, not to make a fitna bigger than the one that already exists.
شيخ انت قدمت هذا انت
الشيخ
او يو وان مي تو ريد
النساء عشان يرضى النساء عشان النساء
There's a question here. How do you make tawbah if you swore by Allah and you said wallahi not to do something but you slipped and forgot your promise to Allah? كيف يتوب الانسان الذي يحلف بالله سبحانه وتعالى انه لن يفعل شيئا ما ولكنه قد فعله؟ كيف يتوب من هذا الذنب؟
هذا السؤال متعلق بكفارة الأيمان، وهي على التفصيل. إن كان قال والله لا أفعل لغوا وغير قصد، فهذا لا يؤاخذه الله باللغو في يمينه. وإن كان يقصد، فإما أن يكون على حلف على بر أو على إثم. فمن حلف أن يطيع الله فكف فليطعه، من حلف أن يطيع الله فليطعه، ومن حلف أن يعصي الله فلا يعصيه ويكفر عن يمينه. لا يمين في معصية، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وكفارته كفارة يمين، كفارة يمين. وكفارة اليمين هي أن يعتق رقبة أو أن يطعم 10 مساكين أو يكسيهم من أوسط كسوته أو طعام لأهله، أو فمن لم يجد فصيام 3 أيام. تلك كفارة الأيمان. فمن حلف أن يفعل ذلك وفعل، إن كان ينظر في حاله، إن كان بر فقد فليس عليه كفارة، وإنما كفارته وإن كان إثم وفعله فليكفر عن يمينه ويستغفر الله تبارك وتعالى.
The Shaykh said again, the answer to this question, the one who swears not to do something then he finds himself doing that thing, it has some detailed information. First thing is that if a person said wallahi but he really didn't mean anything in it, he was just saying wallahi, it was a word that came on his tongue and it just came out like that and he didn't mean anything by it except for emphasis, or the word just came. He said, then Allah does not hold you responsible. As he said in the Quran, Allah will not hold you responsible for the level that you make when you swear. You're just saying it like that. So there's no problem with that. He said, but if the person swore to do some righteous deed, or he swore to do some evil deed, he made an oath to do some righteous deed or an oath to do and complete some evil deed, then this is different. As for the one who swears to do a righteous deed, then let him go ahead and do it and complete it. And the one who swears to do an evil deed and to disobey Allah, then let him not do it. And because he swore, he has to do the yameen. He has to make the kafara. The Shaykh said, but the kafara that you're doing is not the kafara of the evil deed, but it's a kafara of getting close to Allah, because the Prophet ﷺ said that there is no yameen, la yameen, fil masiyah. There's no yameen. You don't have to make kafara when you do some evil deed, when you swore to do some evil and you didn't do it. So the Shaykh went on to say, how is this kafara by either freeing a slave or by feeding 10 poor people, and this is in the ayah in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, or by feeding 10 poor people from what the regular middle class or the regular everyday people eat, to feed them 10 people from what normal people eat, not what the very rich people eat, the opulence that they have, nor the very poor people, no, the medium range that everyone is used to feed 10 poor people, or to clothe 10 poor people, or to fast for 3 days. This is the kafara of the Quran. You said in your talk that if someone drinks alcohol and becomes intoxicated, his salat is not accepted for 40 days. Does this mean that the person does not have to pray during this time? If he has to pray and he doesn't, does this mean he is sinning?
قلت الشيخ الذي يشرب الخمر لا يقبل الله تعالى صلاته مدة 40 يوما أو صباحا. هل يعني ذلك أنه عليه أن يترك الصلاة وإن استمر على الصلاة هل هو آثم لأن الصلاة لا تقبل؟
طبعا هذا الفهم فهم خطأ. عدم القبول في الشرع يقع على ضربين، على نوعين. عدم القبول يقع على نوعين. النوع الأول عدم الإجزاء، إن هذا العمل لا يجزئ، وذلك لأنه أحبط. والنوع الثاني عدم القبول، بمعنى عدم الرضا، وهذا الذي يحبط يحبط أجره ولا يحبط أصل فعله، ولا يحبط أصل فعله. لذلك من صلى هنا لا يثاب على صلاته، ولكن لا يعاقب على الصلاة عليها كتارك الصلاة، كتارك الصلاة، فهي تجزئ عن أدائها ولا تثمر ثمارها. والمراد هنا أنه لا يرضاها الله منه، أي لا يثيبه عليها، يبطل أجره وإن قبل أصلها، والله أعلم.
The Sheikh said that not that the questioner understood, this is just what it is, a question they're trying to find out. So he said that the one who understands, if a person was to understand that he didn't have to pray, then this is an understanding that is wrong, not that the questioner understands like that. He said that first of all, whenever we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us that this action won't be accepted, like the 40 prayers, the salat for 40 days, whenever we find that the action is not accepted, this is meaning one of two things. The first one is what the Sheikh said, adam al-ijza, which means that there will be no reward. When it says it won't be accepted for 40 days, it either means A, that there will be no reward for that action. So anytime you read those ayahs or whatever, those ahadith that say if you do this then this will happen, you won't get this or that, it means one, either that there's no reward for it, if you do it, when you do it there's no reward, or it means number two, that adam al-rida, that Allah is not pleased with it, Allah is not pleased with that thing. It shows that if you do that thing, it's not, Allah is not pleased with the action that you're doing. like you're praying for 40 days. Allah is not pleased with the fact that you're praying because of the sin that you had committed in drinking. He said that this khamr situation is in the first level. So what happens is that Allah Ta'ala destroys the reward and not the action. The reward of the action is what's destroyed and not the action itself. The person still has to pray. He will not be rewarded for his salah, but he also will not be punished like the one who left salah completely. He won't be rewarded for praying the salah, but he also is not going to be looked at, and he's not going to be punished, and he's not going to be considered similar to the one who doesn't pray at all. He said the meaning of it is that his salat has no benefit, his salat gives no fruit for him, his salat will not be a cause of his happiness.
Jazakallah khairan. I feel that many of the questions that have passed me, I don't know about the ones that have got to Abu Usama, contain.
ربما الشيخ أنت تقرأ سؤال بالعربي حتى لا يحمل علينا الإخوة هؤلاء.
طيب العربي أنا أجيب عليه بسرعة.
أي شيء. So that the in Arabic so that our brothers feel left out.
الأخ الذي يسأل عن حديث التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له. طبعا هذا حديث صحيح.
There was a brother who asked about a question. What's the ruling of the hadith? The one who makes the tawbah is like the one who doesn't have any sin. The one who makes tawbah from a sin is like the one who doesn't have any sin. The Shaykh said that it's an authentic hadith.
Hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يصل أحدكم صلاة بصلاة حتى يتكلم أو يخرج. المراد به أن يفصل بين الفريضة وبين النافلة إما بكلام أو بسلام أو بانتقال. إما بكلام أو بسلام أو بانتقال.
The next question is that what is the meaning, what is the intent of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not let someone make a salah and then right after that make another salah without speaking or without moving from that place. What's the meaning of that hadith? The Shaykh said the meaning of the hadith is that if a person prays, he should not connect the fard salah with the nafilah salah immediately. But what he should do is he should pray the fard salah and not get up and then pray the next nafilah. He should either speak after praying the fard salah, he should speak, or he should, you know, give some salam, or he should move his place altogether. That's the meaning of the salah. Don't connect the fard with the nafilah.
أما السؤال الذي يقول هناك جماعة يعبدون الشيطان بخصوصه يذبحون له ويكبرونه ويسألون الشيطان أن يدخلهم النار ويحركهم تحريكا هل لهم من توبة؟ هؤلاء كل مشرك توبته أن يترك الشرك. كل مشرك توبته أن يسلم أن يدخل الإسلام. لا توبة لهم إلا بدخولهم الإسلام أن يصبحوا مسلمين ملتزمين بشرع الله وبدين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Shaykh said that the next brother, he said that there are a group of people who worship a shaitan, literally. They worship shaitan by slaughtering for shaitan, by doing other acts of ibadah to shaitan, and they even go as far as to make dua to shaitan that he should enter them into the hellfire so that they can be with him. The Shaykh said, and the question was, can that person, can those people make tawbah? The Shaykh said the only tawbah for those people, because they are mushrikeen, the only tawbah for the mushrik is that he accepts al-Islam and he works by the dictates and the institutions and the principles of al-Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the tawbah of the mushrikeen. He only accepts the tawbah of the believers. So those people will have to leave al-Islam. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.